Okay, we're getting close to Mother's Day and about a month later, Father's Day. We love celebrating the people who gave us life and raised us with love and probably way more patience than we even realize or maybe even deserved. But how about having a famous parent who pays little attention to you and when they do, constantly tears you apart, trying to shame you or hurt you? Why? Because you just can't please them. I'm Patty Steele. Thomas Edison, when being famous isn't enough. Next on The Backstory. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, if we're being honest, we all have stuff in our lives that drive us crazy. Maybe it's a job, a difficult relationship, or love interest. Or honestly, it can just be the state of this crazy world we live in. For me, it's all three of those things at times. A lot of times it's not a big deal, but in the moment, it sure feels like it is, right? So how do you come to terms with those stressors and not let the negativity weigh you down? For me, therapy has always been a haven where I can open up, talk about what's eating at me, and trust that this person will be honest, understanding, and discreet. Therapy isn't just for folks who've had major trauma. It's for you and me, so we can be at peace and become the best version of ourselves. When I connected with a terrific therapist at BetterHelp, she asked some on-point questions, and I actually heard myself working through some of the issues I'd kept bottled up. What a relief. If you've considered therapy, I can't recommend BetterHelp enough. It's completely online, so it's convenient, flexible, fits your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Take it from me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/backstory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/backstory.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
The Backstory is back. We've all grown up thinking that parents, if they have enough success, money, and acclaim, will pass the gifts of that success on to their kids. But way too often, we know that doesn't happen. Money and attention just don't give you inner peace, nor do they give you the ability to pass that sense of peace on to your kids. Take Thomas Edison, brilliant marketing guy and inventor, but most of all, he was a genius businessman who knew how to get what he needed out of people. And that included his kids, or so he thought. Edison's parenting definitely left something to be desired. His famously long work days meant he wasn't home much. The mother of his first three kids died when his oldest was 12. When she was 14, Thomas married 20-year-old Mina and had three more children with her. So the six kids altogether were left with his very young wife while he basically lived in his lab or at his mining operations. When his oldest daughter, Marion, had issues with Mina, who she felt was trying to replace her mother and even Marion herself with her dad, Thomas blamed Marion. And when he was at home, he was crazy demanding. He gave them a beautiful home, expensive private schools, lots of stuff, but no attention, according to his youngest daughter, Madeline. She said, "When I was 6 or 7, I wasn't really aware I had a father. He was just this occasional presence, mostly on a few Saturdays. He was working constantly out of town and tried to talk Mina into coming with him and leaving the children with household staff and their grandmother. He told her, 'You can speak with the children by phone twice a day. It's just like being there.'" Imagine that lack of understanding of his children, much less of his young wife. The children later spoke of his lack of attention, except when it came to his unrealistic expectations for them. Madeline said that when he was home, he would often, without any warning, quiz them at the breakfast table about everything from current events to obscure pieces of history. It was part of their daily quota of encyclopedia reading and other intellectual tasks he set for them. And by the way, if you worked for Edison, you also had to pass a 146-question quiz about the same kind of stuff, because he felt if you could answer those questions, it showed you were intelligent enough to work for him. Funny thing is, when that quiz got published in the press, Albert Einstein took it and failed. Anyway, Madeline said that if the children answered too slowly or incorrectly, their father would take a hot spoon from the stove and press it into the back of their hand. I'm guessing he didn't do that with prospective employees, hopefully. So as the kids got older, particularly the children from Thomas's first marriage, they went through some tough times as teens and young adults. His oldest, Marion, felt neglected by her dad. She was having a rough time in boarding school, and Edison decided she should leave school and go on a tour of Europe with Mina's younger sisters to get a taste of the world, and probably just to get him out of her hair. But from the moment she met up with the three sisters, it was clear Marion was completely disinterested in bonding with them. She was 16 years old, and they said she was already entertaining boys in her hotel room and disappearing into whatever city they were visiting. She had no parental guidance. At one point, she developed smallpox, a really serious illness, particularly then. She said that during the 7 weeks of the illness, she got only 2 letters from her dad, which hurt her deeply. Besides all of these issues, growing up in Edison's shadow put pressure on the kids to equal their father's accomplishments. And that's where things went really bad for Edison's oldest son, Thomas Edison Jr. When Jr. dropped out of prep school at 17, his father said, "You only want fame, not accomplishment." So as a young adult, Tom Jr. tried to capitalize on his and his father's name in a number of business ventures, which went on to be failures. There was the Edison Jr. lamp, which was supposed to generate electricity from ocean waves, and another company that tried to make iron out of steel. On top of that, he sold the use of his name to companies he wasn't even involved with, like one selling a medical device called the Magnoelectric Vitalizer. Edison Sr. was disgusted and actually used his power to get the post office to refuse to deliver the devices to people who'd bought them, effectively putting them out of business. Thomas Sr. constantly told his son how disappointed he was in him, describing him publicly as absolutely illiterate scientifically and otherwise. Imagine that from your own dad. His father had never encouraged him, and in fairness, Thomas Jr. didn't really give him much reason to try. Tom Sr. told Life magazine that watching his son use his name was causing him terrible grief. He said, "I'm thinking of a scheme to prevent persons from using the name I have striven honorably to protect." Eventually, fed up with Thomas Jr.'s attempts to make a name for himself, Edison Sr. offered to pay Jr. $35 a week if he would simply change his name. Well, guess what? Jr. agreed, and he started calling himself Thomas Willard. Eventually, his dad raised the name change salary to $50 a week. Dad then set him up on a mushroom farm, hoping he'd become self-sufficient. But that was another failure. And instead, Thomas Jr. wound up in a mental institution for a period of time. Now, when Thomas Edison Sr. died in 1931, he left Jr. a seat on his company's board of directors. While it gave him some financial security, it did nothing for his mental and emotional state. And Thomas Jr. died in 1935, just 4 years after his father, allegedly due to his substance abuse issues. Another son, William, studied science at Yale. He had several businesses, including a car repair shop where he invented new designs for spark plugs. But William also didn't get along with his dad, who he later said constantly shamed him, painfully so. William finally became a chicken farmer in New Jersey. But Edison did have some successful sons. In 1927, Charles was made president of Thomas Edison Incorporated. He ran it until 1959. He briefly served as Secretary of the Navy under FDR and he was governor of New Jersey from 1941 to 1944. And Edison's youngest son, Theodore, graduated from MIT with a degree in physics. He worked as an Edison lab assistant and later was director of research and engineering. Thomas Edison obviously had uncompromising standards for himself and his workers. Was his personality type to blame for his lack of support and understanding for his children? Edison was famous for his quotes about business and hard work, but maybe he should have applied this quote of his own to his thoughts about his children. Just because something doesn't do what you planned doesn't mean it's useless. Hope you're enjoying the backstory with me, Patty Steele, and please subscribe if you would. And if you have a story you'd like me to dig into and share, feel free to DM me on Facebook at Patty Steele or on Instagram at Real Patty Steele. I'm Patty Steele. The Backstory is a production of iHeartMedia, Premier Networks, the Elvis Duran Group, and Steel Trap Productions. Our producer is Doug Fraser. Our writer, Jake Kushner. We have new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Feel free to reach out to me with comments and even story suggestions on Instagram at Real Patty Steele and on Facebook at Patty Steele. Thanks for listening to The Backstory with Patty Steele, the pieces of history you didn't know you needed to know. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.